We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Gobert in on Durant. Nearly traveled. Hustling rebound. Over to Fournier. And he hits. Evan Fournier. Under a minute. France has the lead at 76-74.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Oh, Tani. Right field. A laser and it's gone. 35.
Sunny days. Shohei. Showtime in Minneapolis. 35th home run. That ball's crushed.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right. 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Brandon Sprague alongside Andy Dirt Johnson. P. Harris is in for one J.T. Swigard.
What is happening? it's been a fun morning so far. Huh?
The flight from L.
We get to, I wake up, roll over, look at my phone. You know, first thing, your alarm goes off. You're like, hey, what kind of cool notifications did I get overnight? Who was liking my stuff? And then you see a text message from Alaska Airlines. It's like, hey, buddy, remember that flight you're supposed to be on right after your show that's going to give you a full day in L.A.? Yeah, it's been canceled. Yeah,
that's not happening anymore.
No longer taking place.
Did you want to go to a baseball game? Who cares?
Did you have something else you needed to do? Doesn't matter to us. We've canceled your flight.
Yeah, so Dirt and I are pretty excited. I hope everybody had a good weekend. We can get into the weekend here in a second. I just want to say, we are going to go to Los Angeles today after the show and scheduled to go around about noon, get down there, check in, do the Pac-12 media thing. Isaac and Suk had schedule stuff, so they picked us. We're going down. We're excited. We got our full lineup emailed to us yesterday.
And we're Jack, man. We're the backup quarterback. The starter went down with an injury, and they're like, hey, we need you guys for two quarters. We're like, we'll fill in.
Look.
Amicably and not throw four interceptions.
Are you a Kurt Warner?
No.
Or are you a Ryan Fitzpatrick?
We're a Fitzy. We're very Fitzy? Aware. We're very aware who we are. Yeah, are we Isaac and Suk? No, we're not. Hey, that's okay. But
nobody
we're a Ryan
Kurt
Fitzpatrick.
Kurt Warner was Trent Green.
That's a fair point.
This is true. This is true.
But we're Ryan Fitzpatrick, and this is our Washington football opportunity. Yeah, can we run with it? I don't know. We'll see. Maybe it'll go wrong. Maybe Mario Cristobal will punch me in the face. He's our first interview.
That would make for great radio if it happened.
It would. It would. Yeah, or if he just like kind of scolded me for going, hey, man, do you feel like the expectations are getting crazy? And he's like, what kind of question is that?
Yeah, what the hell's the matter with you, bro?
I wouldn't put it past him to do that, but being said,
I like how we're getting that one out of the way right off the bat, live on the air, because everything else, the peek behind the curtain is we're only going to have three interviews basically live on the air, and then the rest of them we're recording from 9 a.m. until 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
So it is a Tuesday, Wednesday Pac-12 Media Day edition.
Yes. So that's why Isaac and Suk used to have the ability, they would record everything and then play it on the show that day because it would all finish before their show even started. So for us, we're going to get a couple live, and it's going to be interesting to see how it all operates.
It'll be fun. But we're going, and so we had the flights booked, and as Dirt mentioned, we get the notification. Well, Dirt goes, hey, flight got changed. And I said, what time? And he goes, 4:55.
Yeah, a little bit of a later flight, not that big of a deal, whatever.
And I said, okay, well, I got some stuff to do. I guess that's not a bad thing. So I go to my Alaska app, and I didn't get a 4:55 flight. They booked me on some SkyWest package that has me going from Portland to Boise.
Seems legit. That's towards LA.
From Boise to San Jose.
Okay, we're getting closer.
From San Jose to LAX. And I'll tell you right now, if you're new to the show, I have flight anxiety like a mother. I hate the idea of flying. It startles me to death. I mentally like have to lock in at the airport. Once I get it to the midway, the top point, I'm good. Because now I'm like, well, there's no turning back now.
We're in the air.
So to put me on three flights just to get to LA, which is like a 1 hour and 50 minute flight, really.
Probably small planes, too, that don't ever feel super secure.
Just propeller planes when you have to fly to SeaTac for whatever reason. You're
not a
like
good
that
feeling.
Plane in Major League One.
Oh, my God. When she's trying to get them to lose and she gives them the worst possible
Roger Dorn
option.
Has the eye mask on and he's like freaking out as the plane's about to crash. At least you're getting to LAX and not going to like Burbank, Bob
Well,
Hope.
We wanted to get to Burbank, but then I looked it up because people were saying go to Burbank. And getting to Burbank's a nightmare. And then
it's
turns out
anywhere in Los Angeles is a nightmare. Los Angeles sucks.
You're right.
Bob Hope is the better airport because LAX is such an S show.
Yeah. I don't see, I get it. I know why LAX is an S show for many. I've had nothing but really easy experiences at LAX. It's funny how, you know, airports that people hate, and if you've had a different experience, normally I don't speak up, because if you want to trash LAX, I'm all in, but I've never had a bad experience at LAX.
Yeah, the last time I was there was for the Rose Bowl, which is actually the last time I flew in general. And I remember being the most confused I've ever been in my entire life trying to catch an Uber. Because I landed
at LAX?
I landed and it was like, it's not on site. You're not allowed to just order them right there when you walk out of the terminal. Like as cars are picking people up, you figure that's the way it should work, right? You just sit there, you open up your app, bada bing, I'm right here. You take me to my location. This is a simple fix. And Dusty and Ant, we all flew at different times. So I landed by myself and I'm like trying to figure this. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. You end up having to like take a shuttle a half a mile away. They go around this way. Then you have to wait in line. And then it's like a first come, first serve. You get in and then that's your Uber. They don't allow you to individually order Ubers. And it confused the hell out of me.
Is it because they put a giant international airport in the heart of the second largest city in America?
This could be the case.
That could be a problem.
This could be the case.
You're like, oh, let's go to that movie theater or catch an airplane.
What's your least favorite airport? And if it was only one experience, that's fine. But what's your least favorite? Because I know these lists come out and Portland's almost always at the top. What's your least favorite airport? Because I have my easy number one that probably nobody else is going to pick. And by the way, I haven't been as traveled as you gentlemen.
Sure.
But what is your number one, you hate this airport because of one or more experiences?
That's a really good question.
Mine's a slam dunk. Mine's Atlanta. Atlanta's not close to the city.
I've heard awful things.
It's a giant airport, which you would think would be okay, but it is. You will never get a connecting from one terminal to the next that is close to each other. You've got to almost always go to the other side of this massive airport. It is the Delta hub. And it is not fun. It's basically anywhere you need to go on the East Coast because I'm poor, you have to go through Atlanta.
You're so spot on there. I've flown so many connections through Atlanta, and I've never been in Atlanta.
Yeah, right? You're never going to Atlanta.
I've never gone to Atlanta just to go to Atlanta. It's always I'm here and I'm catching another flight. That airport blows. You're spot on that.
I've never been, but I've heard nothing but awful things about Atlanta.
I had to go to a wedding in Asheville, North Carolina. Which is a beautiful
Asheville
place.
Asheville is an awesome
but it
city.
Is
the home of Roy Williams.
Way too expensive to fly into, so we flew into Atlanta.
Sprague, why do you know that? I read a Roy Williams book, and it was actually pretty good. His life story is cool. But
I've read a Lou Holtz biography.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. It's very encouraging.
Lou Holtz.
Since you took Atlanta, I'll go a different direction, because that's a pretty damn good vote. I would say anything New York related. They have like 37 airports in the greater New York area.
LaGuardia are the only two I know of.
They're awful. New York airports are awful. The next one, though, that I would probably go, I've had bad experiences every time I've been to O'Hare in Chicago.
Oh, I've always heard O'Hare's
O'Hare
awful, too.
O'Hare is a bad, and I feel like there's a similar trend here. You're going major city, because every airport's, you know, experience that I've had that's been delightful has been in kind of smaller cities, and we fall into somewhat of that category here in Portland, where we have a decent-sized airport, but it's not giant. But you go some, like, you know, if you fly to, like, Mexico or something and you have a connecting flight to a smaller airport in California, they're amazing. Delightful airports. And yeah. I love every second of them. But any big city you get me in, I'm out. Those airports suck.
I had to stay the overnight in the Northern Kentucky Cincinnati airport. That place sucks.
That's a random one.
It's the Cincinnati Northern Kentucky Airport.
I love how Kentucky wants to get their name, like, on the airport.
Because Cincinnati is really close to the Kentucky border.
Isn't it like
border,
right on the border?
Right on the border.
We're
and
right
the airport,
next to it. We're right there. We're right there.
The airport is technically in Northern Kentucky, but it is the Cincinnati Airport.
These are very good. I can't wait to experience these
from
in my
LaGuardia.
Life. Yeah. But SeaTac isn't my choice, but I'll say SeaTac has had some moments.
Pluses and minuses.
It's just so outdated. It feels like I'm back in the 1970s when I walk into SeaTac. I'm like, smells like cigarette butts when they used to let people smoke everywhere.
Am I in an episode of Mad Men right now?
Mine is pretty easily number one, Dallas.
Dallas is a terrible airport.
I have
DFW's tough.
I've only flown into Dallas once, and it was maybe the worst god-awful experience. There are so many bus and subway system situations where they're like, you need to go to building D via C via A, but you got to go B first.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, just how do I do this? Am I going the right way? And I didn't. I got lost. I got lost in the damn airport, and I had to add somebody say, hey, take this train.
Hear that guy.
Over to that platform. Take that shuttle. That shuttle will take you right to your gate.
That is, Dallas is a good one because
DFW is a good one.
It's
a beautiful airport. It just sucks.
Sure.
It's way too big.
You got HW statues all over the place.
Yeah.
And you got to jump on the trams that take you all. Imagine having a quick connection, too, where you got like a half hour until your next board, your flight boards. That's a lot of pressure, man. What if you're like six terminals over? I got to take that shuttle for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I'm going to make it.
The whole time you're thinking, if I can't make it, where the hell is my suitcase?
Right. That's a very good point.
You check the bag. You're like, I am hustling. Do I really believe these minimum wage airport employees are hustling my bag over there too?
They are. They take their jobs very seriously.
It's part of the reason I don't think I'm taking my golf clubs to Hawaii. It's like, does this guy really care about my golf clubs the way I do? Probably not.
Handle them with care.
Catch it. Nope. Okay, you didn't. Throw them in the
back. I like that driver. I'm going to take that home.
Throw them in the back.
I'll tell you two underrated airports that you may never visit in your lifetime.
San Jose is an underrated airport for me.
San Jose is beautiful.
That's a great airport.
We flew, one time we came back from Puerto Vallarta and we landed on the tarmac and you just walked right on the tarmac and they take you on one of those like airport, you know, those little tracks and they drive you over to the next plane. It was great. Seoul, South Korea.
Oh,
beautiful airport. Way bougie, beautiful airport. If you need Coco Chanel, Burberry, Gucci, and a good bowl of ramen, Seoul, South Korea is right up your alley.
Got you covered.
And Da Nang, Vietnam.
Ah, Da Nang's got a good airport.
Very, very classy airports over there in the Asian countries, yes.
Okay. Well, this is good to know if I ever fly over there. The best part about this whole story, though, to come full circle, is not only was I put on a direct flight to L.A., so I have no issues and no problems. We're just getting in a little later. You were put with three different connections to cities that made no sense. And then I'm sitting this morning because you have the like Alaska app on your phone. Mm-hmm. And so I go, you have to recheck in after I checked in last night. So I'm going through the check-in process. And then you get to a screen that allows you to change your seat if you would like to. And they put me in the aisle. Controversial statement. I hate being in the aisle.
Oh,
can't stand it.
I'm aisle guy.
See, I'm not. The elbows
Everyone
I worry about.
Aisle guy.
Not aisle
except
guy.
Except for this idiot.
You got to get up every time somebody wants to take a pee. I don't want to do that for 2 hours.
Does that happen that often?
It's a short flight. I don't want to have to deal with it. I can hold my bladder for 2 hours, cram me in there in the window. I can lean against the wall. The window out blows the aisle out of the water. It's
See,
not
I
even close.
It blows
it out of the water.
I can't hold my bladder for 2 hours because I've been drinking for six.
Okay, then the aisle makes sense. But if you can hold your bladder for 2 hours, I don't need to get up to go to the bathroom. I'm just sitting in there. I'm unbothered. Nobody needs to move me.
I can hold it for 2 hours.
Sure, right? I have no issues with that. But I'm changing my seat from an aisle seat to a window seat. And I'm looking around on the flight. And the one that they, for some reason, didn't book you on, there was like, maybe 9 open seats.
Yeah, you know where they put me at? I'm an exit row guy. So the lady goes, are you capable and ready for that responsibility? And I was like,
are you?
What do you mean? And she goes, in case things go awry. I'm like, well, I have flight anxiety, so you're already going up the wrong avenue with me.
Yeah, if our flight goes down, you're the one in charge, Sprague. Don't let me down.
I want to believe I would be help guy. You know, I know a lot of people claim that, oh, I'd be a superhero. I really believe in a moment of distress, despite the fact that I'd probably perish, I think I'd be helpful guy.
Okay.
Hey, let me put the inflatable slide out, and I'm going down, but you can slide out first.
Sir, I mean,
my life is in your hands.
Yeah, are you more George Costanza, or are you more Superman? you pushing old ladies and kids out of the way, or are you...
What's the situation? On an airplane, it's hard to be George Costanza because there's nothing you can do. You're stuck on an airplane with other people.
Well, but let's say your exit row guy, you are needing to help people get off first. You're
See,
on
I
the
don't
tarmac.
Know about that.
Are
I
you
think,
sliding first, or are you allowing people to slide?
I don't know about that. I think your job is to make sure that the door opens properly, so please pay attention to the instructions.
Let me make sure this works first.
you open the door up, you inflate the slide, and then you go down. That's it. If you can't figure out how to get down on a slide, that's kind of your problem.
Dude, can I tell you how bad the anxiety is? This is just a peek into my brain, okay? The dark Sprague thoughts. I am the kind of person that is so afraid of flying. And if there's anybody out there with flight anxiety, I need to hear from you at the text line. But I am the kind of person that when my flight got changed, I was so upset by those changes to fly to Boise, to San Jose, to LAX. And then I went, what if this is like destiny? I need to take that flight because this different flight.
Oh, you think I'm going to die then today?
No, no,
is
not
that what
your
you're
flight.
That's
just
what you were trying to tell me.
I didn't know I was going to be able to fly with you.
I think you think my flight's going down. Well, now you're on it, buddy. So you're going down with me.
Hey, it was a good run as a show.
We got to the morning slot.
We did. Look at
tell
us.
Me I got next Monday off.
Yeah, maybe, man.
Well, no, they would quickly replace the show.
You might get a call. Hey, Patrick, what are you doing? 6 to 9 a.m. Monday through Friday.
P. Harris and Swigart in the morning.
Oh, God, no one's listening to that.
You'd be so excited. You'd be like, you know, I like those guys, but this is a big opportunity.
You'd come to our funeral. You'd cry, like fake cry for 30 seconds and be like, yes, this is my big break.
That's what my mom always says. She goes, when are they going to give you a show? And I'm like, I'm waiting for someone to die, yeah, Mom.
Well, at 4:55 today, your time could be here.
1080 The Fan is like the new Supreme Court, man. That's it. Once you're appointed.
Oh, your lifetime gig.
Lifetime appointment.
I need someone to die or get fired, and nobody gets fired around here. Case
well,
in
hey,
point, me.
I hope everybody's weekend was great. Happy Monday. We have a busy, busy show. Josh Pate of 24/7 Late Kick coverage with Josh, the YouTube show Late Kick with Josh Pate. He's going to hop on at 7:30 for the Daily Ticker. We will dive into college football because it did not cool down over the weekend. We got some Blazer trade news. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. I've got one of the crazier recruit experiences of all time that I may need to get to at 6:30. So we'll talk about that today. And it is a Olympic coverage day. Do you watch or are you watching the Olympics? We're going to dive into this. I haven't watched a second. And I want to check in with you guys and listeners to see how they feel about the Olympics. But it is a loaded show, a lot to discuss. We start with the Morning Crunch. Happy Monday, Dirt and Sprague on the Fan.
Run it back.
They're still holding on to this belief that this core, this starting five, if Norm comes back.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
The
hottest topics in sports. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments.
All right, the Morning Crunch brought to you in the fam by our great friends out at Crunch Fitness. We love you. As low as $9.95 a month, Beaverton, Alloa Division, Vancouver. If you want or need more information, you can visit them at crunch.com. Crunch is
great.
Fire them cannons.
Argentine caught Dimic. Now it's Doncic to go. That's 37 for Doncic. Slovenia up to 99. The assist's coming. Looking for the three-pointer. It's a flat one. It doesn't need any rim again. Swish. Just net as the Slovenia go to 102.
How about that? NBC Sports, the Olympics, Luka Doncic.
That's a great call.
Slovenia, Luka scores 48. The record in an Olympic game is 55. Ooh, I believe he had 31 at the half. So yeah, he came close to being able to break this record. He didn't, but he was still impressive, and they get the win.
That game included Luka Doncic, who was born in 1999, taking on Luis Scola, who was born in 1980. Just to, you know.
Hey, you know.
Put that thought bubble in your head.
Luis Scola? Can we say it? He's kind of a hot old guy.
Sure.
Good cut.
Which is funny because I think people made fun of him his entire career.
Well, he
in the
was kind of like, you know.
Like bad hair, kind of
weird looking Jesus. And like he had long hair. And
it was mainly the hair that did it. And he would always put it behind his ears when he was like shooting free throws and stuff. And he wore that skinny,
Jesus
douchey
is from
headband.
Slovenia?
No, it would be Argentinian. But well, Jesus, Luis Scola looks like Jesus.
Yeah. There's something to that. Jesus was black, so
he's an Argentinian, right?
Good for Luka. Nice little debut for him.
Yes.
Gobert in on Durant, nearly traveled, hustling rebound over to Fournier, and he hits. Evan Fournier under a minute. France has the lead at 76-74.
Yeah, NBC Sports, the Olympics roll on. Evan Fournier, France was, I said French and France at the same time. France was down at half, but they trounce USA in the second. They actually get the win opening against the United States. United States' first loss since 2004, Dirt. Are they even going to medal?
Yeah, I mean, look, this isn't that big of a deal to me. I know some people take USA basketball very seriously, and every time they would lose, like, one of their exhibition games, the Twitter would burn down, and everybody's throwing stuff at Dame, I guess. He's, like, the scapegoat for all this. I did not watch this game, one, because it was on at 5 o'clock in the morning, two, because you have to have the Peacock app in order to watch it. I think they're trying to push people towards their streaming platform, which is just a great idea, NBC. That's real smart. But yeah, losing your first game, it's not ideal. At the end of the day, I'm not going to lose much sleep over it. I don't really care if they medal or not.
Oh,
I think international.
You don't even care if they medal.
I mean, is it really that big of a deal?
Do you know what the medal count is?
I have no clue.
Well, you should keep this in mind because Swigart's for sure putting this in stat or story.
Okay,
China's got 15.
Uh-oh.
China, and USA has 14.
Wow, we're losing to China, huh?
We're losing to China.
We blame Joe Biden for that. Is that his fault?
I think it's trade policies.
Yeah, I think
we need to be better traders.
I mean, look, I didn't make a big deal out of them losing an exhibition, but then you lose the first one. I guess it's real. They're just not very good. They also don't have their best players available, which is kind of a point that nobody brings up. They should be better than international teams, but, you know, LeBron and Steph and Anthony Davis. There's a handful of guys that are pretty good at basketball that aren't playing on this team.
I was going to do a poll question. Popovich or roster construction? Who do you blame more?
If USA doesn't win gold, how much does this piss off Lillard?
Well, like, I was going to say, could you imagine
like,
a more
really?
Depressing
I'm
run?
I'm on USA. I'm expecting to get a gold.
I finally get all-star teammates, and I still don't win.
Maybe it's because you suck.
Maybe that pushes him back to Portland. He's like, well, super teams don't work.
I'm actually just...
Might as well just stick in Portland.
Maybe he thinks
he's... 7th seed every year.
You can't even beat Slovenia.
Staying in Portland. Maybe he starts thinking, man, you know what? Maybe I'm not that good.
Awesome. That's never getting into his mind.
The basketball discussion that needs to take place... is the fact that 3-on-3 is an Olympic sport.
While 5-on-5 is going on.
Yes. Half-court 3-on-3, mind you.
Well, if you're not playing full-court 3-on-3.
Why not?
Three-man weave.
Because get out and run, baby.
If you and I did that, I am one of those psychos. I'll play full-court 3-on-3.
Yeah, that's weird.
But people like you would get mad at me for that, and then you're sitting here advocating for it.
Oh, I'm not an Olympic athlete.
This is true.
Do I look like an Olympian?
No, you look like a PIL stud, though.
Well, that's true. Back in my prime.
for Gray. Now Shaq Moore thinking about it. Hands off for Roldan instead. Christian Roldan clips it up in the air. Sardis attacking it. Hoppy scores! Matthew Hoppy, before he's subbed off, gives the U.S. the lead.
The U.S. finally find a way through here, and Matthew Hoppy, not for the lack of trying in this game, he shows he's got some Hoppies here, hops up at the back post, nods it in. Over two defenders for Jamaica.
That was a good one by Stu Holden. He looks a little hoppy. Shows he's got some hoppy here. Matthew Hoppy with the goal in the 83rd minute. And Team USA beats Jamaica in the Gold Cup. Fox Sports, John Strong, Stu Holden on the call.
Let's go. Team USA. Are we good at soccer now, finally?
No.
Oh. None of the studs played.
And we're still winning?
I mean, we won 1-0 against Jamaica.
Jamaica has former Timbers players. Oh, like, okay. Yeah, we're good.
Oh, all right. Okay, just checking. I don't know.
We have Qatar.
I figured Jamaica would be. Why is Qatar in the Gold Cup?
Because it's this Asia. To expand the Gold Cup, they pull from the Asia Oceanic, and Qatar is technically part
of it. Patrick's actually wrong. Qatar's in this because they paid to get in.
Right?
Everything's like, corrupt.
Isn't everybody else, you know, in our general neighborhood that's playing in the Gold Cup? I've seen some Canadas. I've seen some Mexicos, some Honduras.
They wanted to expand the Gold Cup, so they pull from some other countries.
I remember this debate a year or two ago. Is it Qatar or Qatar? Did we ever figure that out?
I always go Qatar.
I was raised Qatar.
Okay, but when they were building that stadium.
Yugoslavia.
Oh, yeah.
Remember they were building the stadium and there were reports that people were just falling off and
they
dying.
They still are dying. The World Cup has not happened yet. Yeah.
How many?
30,000. It's all slave labor.
Yeah, slave labor.
30,000?
Yeah, they ship them all in.
Hey, but you know, sports. Woohoo.
I thought it was like 50.
It's only 130 degrees in Qatar right now.
Talk about an underreported story.
I believe.
A research stadium full of people.
What do they call them? The qualifiers or whatever? Jeez. I think they start in like September. It's right around the corner.
Yeah, there you go.
Sox were down 4-0 about 30 seconds ago, and we're getting no hit. Amazing. High fly along the line. Allen creeping over. Kike back to Taz. Here's the throw.
There it is.
And he is safe at home.
Mike Lynch
and
tears.
The Red Sox lead it 5-4.
Tastes delicious.
Incredible.
Dave O'Brien, Nesson on the call. Yeah, you heard it there. They were no hit. The Red Sox were to the Yanks down 4-0. They come back and Xander Bogaerts gets the go-ahead sack fly. They win 5-4 yesterday.
They took one from the jaws of defeat the day before. They had no business winning that game on Saturday. And then they returned the favor on Sunday because they had the Red Sox no hit through 8 innings and then gave up 5 runs in the bottom of the 8th.
Insane. And finally, here on the Morning Crunch, brought to you on The Fan by our beautiful friends at Crunch Fitness. The guy in baseball, he just cannot stop. Shohei, it is showtime.
Ohtani, right field. A laser and it's gone. 35.
Sunny days. Shohei, showtime in Minneapolis, 35th home run. That ball's crushed.
Matt Vasgersian and Mark G.
Oh, no way!
Bally Sports West. I always say his last name, so I will no longer do that to him.
Marky G.
He was a great pitcher in the 80s.
Sure he was.
Ohtani with 35 dingers. All he does is hit dingers. Is he going to get to 60? Where do you think he's going to finish? Give it right now. We'll pull it later so we can show how dumb we are.
55.
57.
57.
60. I mean, he gets to 60. That's a.
I think he's getting 60.
That would be pretty remarkable to get there.
60 with time for second of all time.
60 homers and 200 Ks. Swigart asked this ridiculous question: is that the greatest season in Major League Baseball history?
And 200 Ks for himself or striking out 200?
For himself pitching.
Because he's struck out over 115 times already.
He has. He's got a lot of Ks.
That's fine.
He will go
he
over
hits for
200.
The fence. That's okay.
Yeah.
That's normal, Patrick.
This is new baseball.
Andrew Jones used to do it, and people used to get upset. Now it's normal.
Remember when he used to hit 224? He hit 40 bombs.
Yeah, but he would hit some dingers, right? Man.
Joey great Gallo defense. Batting a whopping 240, but he's got 40 home runs.
My hottest take is still Andrew Jones is the greatest defensive center fielder of all time.
It's a pretty hot take.
It's great.
It is.
He's
it
great.
It's
a pretty awful take.
Show me another center fielder with 10 straight gold gloves. You can't.
I'm trying to figure out.
You just can't.
If that's a factual statement.
No, it is. Look it up. He had 10 straight gold gloves in center field.
Let me look through some great center fielders.
Okay, you look it up and you tell me at 6:30 because I have a recruiting thing I want to get to.
Also, listeners want an apology from you.
What did I do?
Listeners lost money on your Timbers bet this weekend.
Ooh, rough bet, too. I watched that game.
I'm glad you didn't put that in the highlight. I wanted to just act like I never talked about that on Friday because I checked that score and I was like, oh, God.
It's okay. I gave you the pick of Team USA over France. So, you know, we had a great weekend.
Swigard hit the draw on that Timbers game. He lost that one.
Yeah, we all lost. Hey.
Dynamite.
Well done, boys.
Look, don't complain to me. Let's just keep betting together. We're all losing money on this stuff, right?
Willie Mays did it.
Oh, that's it? What did Willie Mays ever do?
Oh, I don't know. 660 home runs in 10 straight gold gloves. That's not bad.
I said greatest defensive center. I didn't say greatest center fielder.
Sure, he won 10 straight gold gloves. How many total gold gloves did Andrew Jones win?
13.
Okay, well, he might have the overall count then.
I actually don't know. We're way over the clock. Back with a crazy recruiting story. We'll get to the Olympic stuff, and then we'll get into football at 7 a.m. Josh Pate of 24/7 Sports at the Daily Ticker. That's next, but first, Pierre's with a sports update.
Now, from the Fan Sports Desk, a SportsCenter update on... This is Dirt and Sprague on 1080, The Fan.
All right, couple corrections here. Welcome back into Wrestling Mondays now. Dirt loves to set the rotators for wrestling music on Fridays, yeah. And then it just never gets reset for Monday.
Once you start playing wrestling music, you can't stop, man.
Okay, so we looked it up, and officially, we have concluded Andrew Jones is the greatest defensive center fielder of all time.
Well,
however,
not quite.
Willie Mays has 10 in a row.
Yes, and 12 total.
Andrew has 10 in a row. Griffey has 10 in a row. And Roberto Clemente has 12 in a row.
12 in a row in right field.
He played right, but he's probably the greatest right fielder of all time.
Yes.
Oh, that's not even a debate.
Defensively, the three greatest right fielders of all time are probably him, Vladdy, and Ichiro.
Ooh. Yeah.
I can't think of any. Well, Ronald Acuna will be there soon.
I throw Vladdy in there because.
Just give him time.
I throw Vladdy in there because he had the arm.
Vladdy could. He would hose. So could Ichiro, though. Ichiro had a cannon.
Absolute cannon.
So, Griffey.
Hey, you're close.
Mays, Andrew Jones, three greatest center fielders of all time.
They're all in the same category, aren't they?
Jim Edmonds had seven in a row.
Edmonds had some sick catches. Okay, so I want to. We'll get to the Olympics here in a second. Are you watching the Olympics? There was a report that their ratings are down. People are complaining on social media. They don't know how to find the games, the events. We'll get to that coming up. I want to share. This is the most random thing I could share on the show. It has nothing to do with anything local, but I wanted to share this because it just blew my mind. We are going to get into college football at 7 a.m. today. We got some trade updates with the Blazers. Josh Pate of 24/7, the late kick with Josh Pate, is going to join us at 7:30. So, do you remember the name Tate Martell?
How do you forget a name like Tate Martell?
Okay, I'm going to run down the timeline. Do you want to know Tate Martell's career?
This does have a local connection, though, because it
starts local
9 years ago.
This blows my mind. To give you a reference of when this started, Tate Martell's college experience, this started before I even worked at the Fan. Which is, I'm damn near close to a decade. I'm a year away from a decade. Bear that in mind. Tate Martell, July 25th, 2012, commits to Washington.
Yes, when he was, a freshman in high school or somewhere?
I think it was around that
point.
He
was very young when he committed.
He was a young prospect. They eyed him early. Boom. 3 years later, 2015, he decommits from Washington. And about 8 months later, he commits to Texas A&M.
Okay, seems legit. Happens all the time in recruiting.
The next year, May 4th, 2016, he decommits from the Aggies. He's now committed and decommitted from two colleges.
Okay, if I get that next commitment, I don't know how seriously I'm going to take it.
Well, that's not going to steer away any major programs because in June of 2016, he committed to Ohio State, the Ohio State University. February of 2017, he signs with the Buckeyes. Whew. He stayed with us. He decommitted from two programs. He signed with us. August 2017, he's this third-string quarterback behind JT Barrett and Joe Burrow.
Not a bad list to be a back. JT Barrett was a good college quarterback, and we know what Joe Burrow did.
Well, but we also know Tate Martell probably felt like he should have been the starter over both of those guys. He probably thought they were bums.
Yeah.
Well, June 15, 2018, named Dwayne Haskins backup for the 2018 season. December 30th of that same year in 2018, he declares he'll be OSU's starting quarterback in June in 2019. January 2019, he entered the transfer portal because his declaration did not come to fruition. 5 days later, he transfers to Miami. 8 months later, he loses the quarterback battle at Miami.
Yep.
3 days after losing it, he's converted to wide receiver. 2 months later, he's moved back to quarterback. 2020, September, he opted out of the COVID season. January 14, 2021, he reportedly intends to return to Miami. 13 days later, he enters the transfer portal again. And July 25, 2021, he is now transferring to UNLV. And Dirt, he still has 2 years of eligibility.
He's going to be handing the ball off of Marcus Arroyo's offense. Let's go. I can't wait to watch that running Rebel offense.
This dude, in a decade span, and maybe 11 years, is going to go from committed to Washington to decommitting, committing, signing, transferring, playing, and going to like 4 or 5 different programs.
It's one of those fun what-ifs for me in college football because he was a huge deal coming out of high school. I remember his name. He's one of the higher-rated high school quarterback recruits we've seen, and it was a big deal when he went to Ohio State. I remember even the rumors of him going to potentially Washington when he was committed there for a couple years in high school. Like, that was a big coup for them up there in Seattle. It is a fun what if to play of what if Justin Fields doesn't have those issues at Georgia and doesn't transfer to Ohio State. If Justin Fields ends up getting the job at Georgia, like he probably should have, because we saw how good of a college quarterback he ended up being. He had no business being anybody's backup. If he doesn't transfer, this is who Ohio State would have been left with. A guy that could not win a job at Miami. This was their next guy in line.
Miami was ready to hand it to him.
Right? It was like, just come on down, buddy. And he couldn't even beat out. And then De'Ara King ended up transferring to Miami. And you're not playing over De'Ara King. He's a much better college quarterback than you. So it's a fun what if. If Justin Fields' issues didn't arise at Georgia and he didn't look to get out there, of just what the last couple of years could have looked like for Ohio State, where they had a quarterback who was a Heisman finalist, basically, both years. They made the college football playoff both years. They lost a heartbreaking game to Clemson in the semifinal. And then the next year, they beat Clemson, I think, in the semifinal this year, and then losing the national title.
They killed Clemson, and then they got killed by Bama.
It's like, dude, there's no way you're doing any of that with Tate Martell at quarterback. It's just funny to think out, and maybe they find another guy off this, you know, transfer portal, or maybe they probably had another 5-star in their system they could have started, but this was their guy in waiting.
How many games did he play?
Like, it just any position or quarterback?
At quarterback.
I mean, I don't think he's played
I
much.
I don't think he, so did he play more than two?
Do we as fans, obviously coaches see this, we don't know how good he is. So when you say King's better than him, we don't really know that.
I think we do. No, I think we do. I think the fact that you couldn't win the gig at anywhere you've been tells me you're not that good at that position.
He appeared in a handful of games in 2018, basically mop-up duty as their backup for Dwayne Haskins. He was 23 of 28 for 269 yards and one touchdown. I'm assuming those accumulated as the year went on because he never got a start.
On an Ohio State team that went deep.
Yeah. That was a really good Ohio State team.
He's played at programs with just stacked rosters.
And at Miami in 2019, he attempted one pass. He completed it for 7 yards, and he had 7 carries for 7 yards.
Mm.
And that's it.
Tate Martell.
That's it.
One of those, how did you miss? But they missed. He was a 5-star lock that just...
It's no different than drafting guys in the first round. We always think they're a lock to be a great NFL player or NBA player, right? We go through that every year in the draft. It's
Julius
the same
Hodge.
Thing in recruiting.
Julius Hodge.
Yeah, they get all sorts of names that come out.
You're remember like, that guy from NC State? I thought that dude was going to be real deal Holyfield in the NBA.
Wait till Thursday. The NBA draft's Thursday night. We're going to get sold that all those guys are franchise game changers. This is the player this organization needs. You're not going to hear one of those names after 2 years.
One of the more wild journeys in college football, Tate Martell. And now he's going to Marcus Arroyo at UNLV.
He's
going to
hand the ball off like a stud.
He's going to be Chris Winkie. He's going to be 27, still finding ways to play college football.
Hand it off right between the guards.
Coming up next, are you watching the Olympics? Do you care about the Olympics? This is interesting to me because it doesn't seem like the United States is all in on the Olympics. That's next on The Fan.
Thanks for making 1080 The Fan.
Unmatched sophistication. Regal Select from Benjamin Moore.
Well, it's late in the evening and I'm on my knees.
This is Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, we got a lot to get to in the second hour. Dirt and Sprague with you. Good morning. We've had a interesting start to our day. Headed to LA for Pac-12 Media Day. We've already had flights changed. The Olympics are going on. By the way, hour two is going to be a lot of football. One, what do you do if you're a Deshaun Watson teammate and he walks through the room?
Yeah, that's kind of an interesting one.
Is that a weird feeling, or do you just act like nothing's going on? And, hey, Deshaun, what's going on? Grab my helmet, see you on the field.
It's like a George Costanza where he quits his job and then tries to tell his boss he was just kidding when he shows up on Monday. You took that seriously?
Yeah.
He's just showing up. You go, okay, hey, welcome back, Deshaun.
And then I want to get to the college football stuff. I'm starting to feel something about college football that I didn't think I would. And I got this over the weekend. So we'll talk about that. Josh Pate will join us for the Daily Ticker at 7:30. Are you watching the Olympics? Do you care about the Olympics? Is there one sport specifically you're paying attention to, you've invested in? I ask this merely because, to be honest and transparent, I love sports. Sports is my profession. It's my tide. I love sports. But I'm also one that tells you that when football season ends, I'm not that sad. I like having the gap off. It brings me the rejuvenation for football season. I get super excited about it. I love the NBA. Baseball has been a lot of fun despite my Bravos. The Mariners are 1.5 games out of the AL wild card with a big win over the A's.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care about this Olympics. And I'm not one of those sitting here telling you, it's all COVID. I don't know. Maybe COVID's playing a part because there's no fans there. I just don't find an interest in the Olympics this year. And there's a ratings thing out there that there's a significant drop off for people in the United States watching it. Now, I don't know if that's the coverage or what, but are you watching? Are you paying attention? Because to be honest with you, man, not 1 second. And I don't feel bad about missing anything. And I couldn't care less.
Well, part of it is, I think, the time zone difference where a lot of the events are taking place overnight. So it's just going to make it tough. You're going to have stuff in tape delay. And that's just weird. You know the results. And it's not the same when you're watching it as opposed to watching it if it was live on your television and you're seeing it for the first time. I am not watching the Olympics. I turn it on for about 10 minutes, maybe at most, last night. I watched a little skateboarding. I was blown away because there was like 13-year-olds from Brazil and Japan competing. And we had a super old gal. It was like really weird. Like the meme of who's the actor that shows up like, hey, what's up, you kids? And he's got a skateboard. It's kind of like the vibe.
Steve Buscemi.
Steve Buscemi, thank you. That's kind of the vibe I got from the American skater. It was like really weird because the first two I turned on were 13-year-old girls. And like, this American chick would look like she was in her mid-30s. Like, eh, this is kind of awkward. And I think the young kids end up meddling. So that was pretty cool.
Can we just make the Olympics a bunch of 10-year-olds playing
dude,
each other?
All for it, man. But no, I'm not watching it. I think a lot of it is, again, the time difference. A lot of it is I've just never been that interested in the Olympics. And then the COVID, the no fan thing, like at least you used to have atmospheres and families that were there that got a chance to react and just to have big, you know, crowds. Even the opening ceremonies were kind of fun. Just seeing a stadium packed with 100,000 people, however many you can cram in there. And you have none of that this time. So my interest in the Olympics could not be any lower.
I think some of it is also side caveat. I'm so much of a more of a summer recreational guy than a winter recreational guy. But when it comes to the Olympics, I prefer the winter over the summer. And I think it's because the Summer Olympics have a lot of stuff that I just don't care about slash aren't that fun to watch.
You don't want handball skateboarding?
Mixed table tennis. No, but the skateboarding is like grinding on a rail. It's not even like going through a course. To where in winter, you get obviously people like ice skating.
Sure.
Snowboarding is really cool. Bobsled, luge, stuff like that. It's more entertaining. This, watching someone power lift weights, I'm like, I don't care.
Well, that's on ESPN2 all the time.
But we're also remember, though, we're not at track and field yet, which everybody loves, and we're not at Simone Biles yet.
Well, I'll tell you right now, does everybody love track and field? You took away our best runner because she smoked weed, you idiots.
Yeah, that might hurt it, but people still love.
Hey, Jamaica, why don't you do dope and be the fastest team, and then we won't really care. But hey, if you smoke weed, man, because your mom died, how dare you? By the way, you see Sue Bird and Megan Rapinoe do an interview talking about how much they enjoy cannabis?
Oh, okay.
Okay. Oh, cool. Glad they're over there competing.
They're over there competing.
Well, Shakari Richardson can't.
Yeah.
People do care about the 100-meter dash.
You're not wrong on that.
People do want to watch Team USA in women's soccer.
But will I know?
And people want to watch Simone Biles.
Yeah, but Simone's going to win.
I know, but they still want to watch to see the highlight on House of Highlights.
Yeah, the other part of it, too, that I think, and this is a new trend you're getting in almost every sport, so it's not just an NBC thing, but part of it for me, and I almost am stubborn to the point where I refuse to watch because of it, is when they push marquee events to an app to try and get people to download and pay for an app.
Oh, are they doing the Peacock thing?
They showed the Team USA versus France game. If you wanted to watch it live, you had to watch it on Peacock at for whatever ungodly time it was on in the morning. I'm out of principle. I'm not going to do that. Put the stuff on NBC, man. I pay for cable. I understand you pay $1 billion for this, and that's probably the only reason the Olympics are taking place right now, because there's no other reason. You could have delayed it easily until October, but then you'd have to deal with the NFL, and nobody would really watch then. You could have pushed it till next year, but then it's in the same year as the Winter Olympics, and it just creates this whole issue. This is all a billion-dollar industry, but like that kind of stuff drives me nuts when you're trying to push me to an app. I'm not going to do it.
I put a poll question at Dirt and Sprague. How much Olympics are you watching so far? A ton, a decent amount, not much, not at all. You can go vote with that at Dirt and Sprague and at 1080 The Fan. We put that up as a poll question. I just find it interesting, and I'm curious where people are and if I'm alone on an island here, or is it normal what I'm doing? I don't know. I think some people, I'd be willing to wager people are voting not much so far, but to Patrick's point, let's wait for some of the other events to pop up.
Sure, those can be big events. I think it's what time are they going to air, and do they actually show them on NBC, which they should.
All right, hour two loaded with football. Dirt and Sprague back with Odyssey 1080 The Fan. I asked this question: is college football overreaching? Are they ruining the product? That's next. Dirt and Sprague on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.